We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're at the beginning of a new semester, so we'll have a quick introduction to Yeshaya. And on Sunday, God willing, we'll have an introduction to prophets in general. Prophecy, prophets, that's for Sunday, God willing. The Navi Yeshaya was from the Davidic dynasty. Our tradition is that Yeshaya, the son of Amoz, was the grandson of a Judean king. His uncle Amatziah, the Judean king Amatziah, was the brother of his father Amoz. Amoz and Amatziah were brothers. Yeshaya prophesied in the days of the Judean kings Uzziah, Yosam, Ahaz, Yechizkiyahu, and they were his relatives. He was ultimately killed by his own grandson Menashe. Yeshayo gave his daughter to be wed to Chizkiyahu, and then Chizkiyahu had twin sons, one of which was Menashe, who grew up to be very wicked and ultimately murdered his grandfather Yeshaya. And Yeshaya's form of poetry is of prophecy is very poetic. So we discussed that there are two approaches to understanding Yeshaya. There's Rashi's approach, which says in Pshat, he's just saying the same concept with different wording. And then there's the Malbim and others who say, no, if you use different words, then he's saying a different concept. You just have to understand more accurately what each word means. We said that we would generally stick to Rashi. So we're continuing with the prophecies of Yeshaya. We will restart from what's called the 27th chapter, the first pasuk. Yeshaya is looking into the distant future, and he's describing how there's ultimately going to be a war that will take down the two great forces in the world, Edom and Yishmael. Traditionally, we understand Edom to represent Christianity and Yishmael to represent Islam. We're continuing with Yeshaya Chaf Zayin Aleph. Bayom ha'hu, on that day, yifkod Adonai b'chalbo hakasha v'agedola v'chazaka. Hashem will focus his attention with his harsh sword that is great and mighty. Charbo, his sword, hakasha, that is harsh. That hagedola v'chazaka, that is great and mighty. Al Livyatan Nachash Bariach. He will focus his sword against the Leviathan, which is like a snake that is Bariach. What is Bariach? Bariach is a bolt. So Bariach is a bolt because a bolt slides somewhere. Livrach means to run away. A bolt slides into place or you make it slide back. So Hashem says he will focus his sword against the Leviathan, who is like a snake that's like a thick bolt. And this is speaking about Yishmael, that Yishmael will slithers into different nations like the snake, and his tentacles are far-reaching. And so that's Hashem says he will extend his sword against this snake. Now, Leviathan is a type of sea creature that swims the whole sea, and he has no limits. So too, the idea is that Yishmael is Nachash Bariach. He's like a snake that slides here and there and gets everywhere. Ve'al Livyatan Nachash Akalaton. And against that other great entity that is the Leviathan of the snake, which is Akalaton. Akalaton means crooked, warped, where a nation can cause hundreds of thousands to be exiled from their homes. A nation can attack and bomb and mercilessly extend its sword. But if another nation dares do a slight thing that might have caused someone to have innocent casualties, then they're up at arms. What's going on here? Wait a second. Where's the honesty? How could you look yourself in the mirror? So the description of Esav, the description of Edom, is always he who tries to portray himself as kosher, but deep down inside is not really kosher. The description here in the Navi is that the people of Edom are nachash akol akalaton, like a snake who is crooked, where the strength, the capacity of Edom, the capacity of this force in the world is to move, to conquer, and it does it, so to speak, in the name of honesty, in the name of good things. Yes?
So they're not talking about one subject, the Leviathan. In other words, the snake, the crooked snake, is not referring to the Leviathan, according to the text.
He's saying they are a snake. They are like two Leviathans. There's the Leviathan that's Yishmael, the Leviathan that's Edom. He's basically saying that the world's going to reach a time where these are the major forces in the world: Islam and Christianity.
Phrase is like referring to one.
They're both called Leviathan Nachash, but there are two types of Leviathan Nachash. There's the Leviathan Nachash Beriach and Leviathan Nachash Akalaton. Two types of, and Hashem says he will extend his sword against them. Rashi learns that this is a reference to Egypt and the Assyrian Empire. So Rashi learns it's not a prophecy for the end of time, it's a prophecy for the coming period in the days of the Second Temple.
What's Malbim's interpretation of the repetition here? There's quite a bit of repetition of the sword on the describing Leviathan itself. There seems to be three again.
Like right. So he basically divides which one refers to which Nachash. We could try on a one-on-one to go through it.
So that's just not fair. It
yeah.
be held true for more than one. In other words, if Rashi refers it to this, and Rashi would, and then after this happened, other sages have said, first to what you just mentioned.
Right.
Evil is evil, right? Ultimately, it's the same evil.
The truth is, we will understand this a little bit better if we hear out the prophecy till the end. Because at the very end of the prophecy, so he says, in Pasuk Yud Beis, he openly refers to Egypt. And then finally in Yud Gimel, he says, the Jews who were lost in the Assyrian Empire and in Egypt will return to Israel. That's where we have the song from, yeah? So that's this verse at the end. So then the question is, okay, as we approach, we'll see. But that's why Rashi's working off of the conclusion of the prophecy that openly speaks about Ashur and Mitzrayim. והרג את התנין אשר בים. And Hashem will extend his sword to kill the tanin, which is a big type of a snake-like creature that's in the midst of the seas. So the first opinion we were learning would learn that's all the other nations, whatever's left after you finished off with Edom and Yishmael. And Rashi learns that's a reference to Tzor. If you recall, we had learned prophecies about Tzor, otherwise known as Tyre. There's this island that was frequented by merchants, and they were very wealthy. And this island is known as Tzor in the prophets. We had learned the Medrash that says that whenever we learn about Tzor, Tzor is the capital of Edom. So when we learn about Tzor, we're really learning a prophecy about all of Edom. So with Rashi's Pshat, we're going to talk about the Assyrian Empire, we're going to talk about Mitzrayim, we're going to talk about Tzor, which represents Edom. They quote in the name of the Rebbe of Chabad that the pasuk at the end of this prophecy, Uvau ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur, they will return those that are lost in the land of Ashur, which we might translate as the Syrian Empire. So they say, the Rebbe of Chabad said, that's the people in the United States. That's the people who are coming from Eretz Ashur, a land of Osher, a land where they think they're happy. So that could be England, that could be the United States, that could be places where people feel they're living a free life as Jews, and they think they're living in Eretz Ashur, the land of happiness. Ashur like Osher. V'anidachim, and those that have been scattered be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of affliction, he said that's Russia. That's a land where they always feel like Mitzrayim, like they're being oppressed. And all of them will return to Israel, v'ishtachavu l'Hashem b'ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim. Now, this might seem far-fetched to you, but the Rebbe of Chabad said they were building Kfar Chabad, and they were building other places here in Israel, and he told them, you're not building enough housing. And they said, what do you mean? And he said, the Jews are coming back from Russia. And this was before anyone was talking about the Jews coming back from Russia. He said, you need much more housing. And they looked at him like he was crazy, until it came true. So I'm not a Chabadnik, but the story is still a good story. Okay, back to our pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Bayom ahu on that day. Kerem chemer anula. You will call the Jewish people as the vineyard that gives great wine. Kerem chemer, the kerem, the vineyard that gives chemer great wine. Anula, people will call towards Israel. Ani Adonai no tzera. Hashem says, and from that point onward, once I extend my sword and I start taking the nations to task, from that point onward, I will protect the Jewish people. Lirgaim ashkena, and I will constantly water my vineyard, the people of Israel. Pen yifkod aleha. Laila vayom etzorena. I will constantly water it so that the leaves never dry out, and that's why I will constantly watch over them. So the point is, pen yifkod aleha. Aleha could mean upon it, but aleha could also mean ale, the leaves, its leaves, lest they dry out. Hashem says, I not only will take care of the vineyard, I'll even take care of the leaves. Hashem says, I not only will take care of the big people in Israel, even the little people, I will watch over everyone. Once I've taken them back, everyone will have a special blessing from above. Chema einli. Hashem says, I no longer have any anger at them. Miyitneini. Shamir shayit b'milchama. If so, ava. Hashem says, because I never aroused all my anger against the Jewish people, because if I would have done that, so then Shamir Shait, it would have been completely destroyed, meaning the Jewish people would have had, you wouldn't have seen a remnant. Shamir Shait b'milchama. There would have been complete destruction in the war. If so'av va'atzitena yachad, I could just trample it and destroy it completely, if that's what I wanted to do. So in some ways that can be, we can hope that that's in addressing the Holocaust. That you look at it and you say, were you so upset with us? And Hashem says, I know you might think that, but listen here, if I were really that upset, I could have finished you off. If there's something left over, then I didn't express all my anger. Now, there might have been a certain anger that was expressed, but Hashem says, I no longer have anger, and even when I did, I didn't express all my anger. Because if I did, then there'd be nothing left. Oh, yachazek b'ma'uzi. Or, yachazek, to hold on. B'ma'uzi, to my strength. Hashem says, the escape that people have is if they grab onto my strength. What's Hashem's strength? That's the Torah. We say it, Hashem oz lamo iten, Hashem rechtamo bashalom. We say it in prayer every day. What does that mean? Hashem gives His people strength. He gives us the Torah. The Torah is called our strength. Then a person would have attained peace with me. Shalom yaseli. You want to make peace with me, says Hashem? Here's the path. Grab the Torah. Habaim yashresh Yaakov yatzitzu farach Yisrael. In the coming days, Hashem says, Jacob will give root. Yatzitzu farach, he will flourish. He will give fruit in Israel. Umale'u fenei tevel tinuva. And Israel will become filled with bounty. Hakimakat makehu hikahu. And even back then, So, this is already a new prophecy. Let's hold off on it for next week. Zachem, next week we'll pick up here. The Navi is now going to turn to the nations and describe the suffering Israel had at the hands of the nations and what Hashem did to the nations in turn. But this is already a slightly new topic where Hashem takes an accounting of what's happening at the end of time. Ordinarily, we tried to do a half a chapter every Friday. But again, I'm throwing the question back at you because there happens to be very interesting parts of Talmud on these verses. How many people want more depth? Boy, okay. So we'll pick up here next week, Bezachem.